As always, subscribe and click the notification bell on our YouTube channel. Be active on our Facebook group, East Coast Distressed Note Investing, and be sure to go to our website for all your note investing tools, resources, and available assets. If you have any questions, email us at tradedesk@jkpholdings.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. Dave Putz from JKP Holdings alongside Mr. Nathan Turner. How are you, my man?
Good morning to you. Very good, thanks.
So I'm getting some spring weather. I don't know about you out there in Canada, but New Jersey's getting 63 degrees today, I heard. I'm excited. I gotta get outside. Yeah.
It's early spring here. So it's below freezing in the morning overnight, and then it goes above freezing during the day, one of those kind of things.
We've had a mild winter. For the most part, we haven't had more than an inch of snow, which is amazing for us Northeasters.
Wow.
Snow blowers haven't come out. We're looking forward to opening the pool soon. We're getting ahead of ourselves now. But we wanted to kind of just make sure that we are, you know, following along with everything going on. We've had some internal talks about stuff.
Yeah.
And make sure that this is good. What we've been doing internally has been talking a lot about these wrap loan stuff and what has been happening with it. Why is it good? Why is it bad? And also,
how can we help educate those that are making them to make them sellable?
Yeah. So I think for most people, they don't get it yet. Right. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But in the most part, when we look at stuff like this, we want to worry about making sure that we understand it and we kind of get the people around us to help us understand it alongside of us and probably, you know, hopefully kind of teach us what that looks like. So let me make sure that I see that the Facebook feed is showing nothing. I got some reports there. I apologize. Make sure that we got that going on. Make sure that is happening. Give me 1 second. I apologize, guys.
It's almost like you need
assistant
or something.
Yeah, I think we're going to get around this topic rather fast, quickly today, given the fact that I'm already having some issues. So I'm excited about what we're going to be talking about today and making sure that we all kind of get on the same page, understand the whys, the what's, the hows, all that good stuff.
In the meantime, I'll plug Diversified Mortgage Expo again, DME, June 2nd and 3rd. Get your tickets. We've got some amazing speakers and sponsors. I'm really excited. This is going to be a good conference. Some really, really good content. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
Highly encourage everyone to go.
Yeah. So with that said, I mean, what are you seeing with people coming and what are going to be going on? Who we expect to be there? And what kind of people are we going to be seeing?
So I'm just looking at my list of people that I need headshots from. That's just this list. I've got somebody from Commercial Notes. He's going to talk to us all about commercial notes and why commercial notes versus residential. We've got a couple of guys here talking about seller financing, how to structure them properly so that they're sellable. We've got somebody who's kind of newer to seller financing and some of the things that she's going through and some of the revelations that she's had in her journey. We've got IRA company there, Quest. We've got Dan Zatofsky talking about raising capital. A guy called Brent Kessler talking about money multiplier. This is a very interesting thing that he's talking about making an insurance policy that you can borrow against. Very interesting stuff. Some note education. We've got Nate Dodson talking about raising capital. I got his cup right there. Crowdfunding lawyers, they're going to be talking. They've got all kinds of guys there. Oh, John Hancock. Probably not a lot of people know this guy. He's awesome.
So what he's doing is some really fascinating stuff. I mean, I think people don't get things too completely with this stuff, but I think it's definitely a need for people to understand. So share a little bit about what he's going to be doing and why it's important to know what he's getting up to.
So his panel, it's not a panel. He's going to do a presentation by himself. presentation is talking about death and taxes, about the two most inevitable things in your life. He's going to talk to us about how to prepare for those things and how to protect ourselves from taxes and what to do upon our eventual death, and how to protect your assets so that you can go forward and create a legacy for those that you're leaving behind. So that's going to be a really cool one, all about just money management. What are you going to do with all this money you're making with notes?
So one of the fascinating things that I think people, and I think we're live again, so I apologize guys who are last second getting in here. The thing about DME for me, and one of the major reasons going, besides Nathan running it, is the fact that it's not just note investor buyers coming here and seeing the same people over and over and over again.
Oh.
And that's the part I think people don't get, is that it's not just us all hanging out, which, you know, I kind of encourage Nathan to make sure he doesn't focus on just that.
Right. Yeah, right? No, it's a diversified mortgage expo. So we're bringing in all pieces, all different things that you can do with notes, outside of notes, money management, bringing in seller finance people that I don't think anybody else is doing. Just bringing everyone together. I really want people to walk away from DME, not just with a stack of business cards, but like actual deals. So come Monday, you know, I'm going to start due diligence on this asset, that kind of thing.
So it's amazing that DME is going to have not just us there, but we're actually going to be doing deals in the back room kind of thought process.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not this, you know, hedge fund talking to us investors and saying, I need $10 million to do deals. These would be mom and pops and small originators who are originating seller finance notes, who are just learning about the fact that us note buyers exist.
Yeah.
So,
which is very exciting for both sides.
Yes.
For the note originators going, I can sell this. And for us, we're going, I can buy that.
Yeah. We have a private group we talk on Wednesday, and some of the people are joining us and they're saying, you wait, I've been struggling to raise capital and banks won't refinance me. And I just need to get some money out of here. And when we talk numbers, these guys get it and they just need money to get into another deal.
Yeah.
So us coming in and funding it is amazing. These are originators, wrap loan creators, all kinds of sectors that don't know anything about us and their worlds like this, our worlds like this. They know each other here. We know each other, but we never bridge together. And DME is going to be one of the first stops of doing that, of bridging this gap, and you're shaking hands with people you've never heard of before. You may not have even seen them on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever you want to be at.
Very exciting stuff. We've got somebody from Mortgage Bankers Association coming, talking about, she's the VP of research. So she's going to bring in all kinds of information, like latest up to date. This is what's been happening in the market. This is what we foresee coming up in the near future. So that's a big deal. I mean, it's going to be a really good one, really good one. So check it out. Make sure you grab your tickets. They won't last forever.
So we'll be, it's in June, guys, get down to Nashville, check it out, take a look at the website. But I just, as I'm sure people on Facebook are probably sending a message, I'm getting some message from people we know. I apologize. I don't know what happened in the transition here. I was working fine for a minute and then boom, technology, right?
Yeah.
So, when we talk about these world of, you know, bringing in new notes, and as you grow your business, as we'll both contest to, it gets overwhelming.
It gets busy. And I think that's a big thing that maybe people don't realize when they go and take their weekend warrior class with some guru, is there is work involved. Like, this is not just it's not a get rich quick by any stretch. There's definitely work involved, and it can get to be a lot very quickly.
So
you need help.
But when we talk about needing help, it isn't just buying from new investors and talking to new investors. It's really about making sure that you can do the work and keep up with things so you don't fall behind, right? Because falling behind is the worst thing in the world to do, because then if you're behind on everything, you're going to start seeing assets pass you and you can't make an offer on them, right? And networking is a huge thing. We have a huge space for our sector, and networking is big on us. However, one of the another big issues is that when you're growing, you don't actually grow your business, you grow your work. So you're working on it in your business, not on it. And I get it. When we're all beginners, you kind of do things your way because you can't really hire someone. You can't do anything there. And then when you get large enough, the problem you run into is you don't know how to hand it off.
Yeah.
How do you, the E-Myth book, I'm sure those who know about it, how do you hand it off, right? And we talk about this. We just finished, we're finishing up our 10-week course for the Advanced Note Investor Group. So if you haven't looked at that, please take a look at that on our website. We'll be probably restarting one up in April. We'll be talking about that. The first 5 weeks will be building a big calculator, understanding due diligence, weeding down filters, but building a true non-performing calculator, not just performing one with a lot of intricacies that are just make it better.
Yeah.
But all that to go, as you grow, it is extremely difficult to manage stuff.
It is. There's a lot of stuff and stuff like it's, and in fact, for the gurus that are teaching, I don't even fault them for not being able to tell you everything because there's a ton. So I've heard that before where people take a class and they're like, oh, well, I didn't know about this. I didn't know about that. Yeah. And in every situation is different and it's extremely difficult to try to predict and prepare for every single eventuality. That being said, there is a ton of stuff that's the same thing every time.
And you can't learn everything on a weekend, guys. Just
no, you can't. Right? No, you can't.
Well, as you get into the thick and things, and if you probably already are, you're probably in the weeds, you've hired this person or that person, I have, and it didn't work out for one reason or another. And it gets to the point where we're not good people at hiring people. We're good at investing. That's all we're good at, right?
Yeah.
Know our lane. So what we wanted to do as I transition Rudy on here is we want to talk about this idea of this VA, virtual assistant, right? This magical person that comes into your world and takes over for you and relax, so you can go on vacation and spend the time on the beach, right? Rudy, welcome, my man.
Rudy, you're on mute still.
Yep.
And Rudy's off mute. How are you today?
There it is.
Good. So this world of virtual assistants, let's back into it. How did you get involved in it before we dive into the details?
So started over 16 years ago, going on 17 years ago now. So not a new to the game per se. And the way we started, I had a mortgage banking consulting firm called Rainmaker Solutions. One of my clients who worked for UBS Mortgage had a small call center operation doing introductory calls for mortgages. Basically saying, hey, your mortgage is with UBS. You need to send your payment here. This is when your payment's due. This is your payment amount. That's it, right? They had six people in the Philippines doing these calls. He was interested in moving to the Philippines and taking this to the next level, asked me to partner with him. And as such, we are now an 800-person organization in the Philippines in four different locations. And we have 70 onshore staff in Burlington, North Carolina. So we've grown through multiple verticals. And, you know, that way that we started with six people. Six people turned into 20, 20 turned into 50, 50 turned into 100. And again, 17 years later, we're at 900 odd people at this point. Gotcha. So, like I said, we're not new to the game. We've been in it a long time. We've definitely seen the ebbs and flows of the business. We saw the downturn of 08, 09, and 10, where we went from about 350 people down to 20 people overnight because of the stroke of a pen of the government and Fannie and Freddie saying no more offshoring, which now Fannie and Freddie have changed their tune and they do allow offshoring for non-legal back office work. So that is a big feather in our cap again. And like I said, so the real estate market is very in tune with what we do and how we do it. And in fact, you know, most of the big banks have offices down the street from our operation in the Philippines. You know, Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all of those big banks are there taking advantage of the offshore operations and the cost savings and benefit of doing such.
Wow.
That's awesome. And you're saying, yeah, we were talking before and you said roughly half of your office deals with real estate.
Actually, in total, about 70% of my office deals strictly with real estate-based transactions.
Wow.
About 50% are in the single-family rental and property management space, along with some multifamily that we touch there as well. We have about another 10% that are mortgage default related, dealing with the foreclosure, the bankruptcy, the eviction processes associated with mortgages. We have about another 15% that are in mortgage origination, about another 10% that are in title. And then we have some other offshoots, which is strictly working for accounting firms doing their tax-based accounting. We also do recruiting, working with recruitment firms. And then we do some back office related to medical billing and medical placement of nurses. Uh-huh. So we do have multiple verticals, but we were born of the real estate market and we are very in tune with the real estate market.
So when we say real estate market, you know, we're very small niche note space in the real estate market. What are traditionally they used for? Are they used for, you know, running values? Are they used for, you know, marketing, social media? What are they typically doing, you know?
So we do a lot of all of what you just said. So, you know, I find it interesting when you were talking earlier, you were talking about how you don't have time to get to everything that you need to, right? Mm-hmm. The whole premise of a virtual assistant is to help your highly compensated individuals, your brain trust individuals, do more of what's going to make you money, right? If you don't have to spend your time keystroking or data entry, trying to find values, trying to find comparable sales, comparable listings, trying to do that sort of menial work, as it were, your time can be spent analyzing the deal, right? So if your VA, if you train your VA properly and get them to give you the information that you need to then simply look at a deal, mm-hmm. and now instead of processing two deals a day, you're processing 10 deals a day, right? So your ROI goes up dramatically as a result of employing this individual. So mm-hmm. let the VAs do the work that you don't need to do, right? Let them data stroke, let them keystroke, let them go through and do the research associated with each of these assets that you're trying to acquire so that then you can spend the time analyzing the metrics of the deal and then moving it forward to either saying yes or no.
That's amazing. I mean, you're right. The time, energy, and money is made up in the time, energy, and money that you don't have to spend doing it. And it could be the fact that you could spend more time with your family too.
That's huge. Absolutely. And so, I mean, just think about it. You know, like I said, if you can double, triple, quadruple your capacity to be able to work on deals on a daily basis, right? And not having to do that at night anymore, right? And so now you're getting back the quality time with your family. You're getting back, again, a better ROI. And for the cost of a VA versus your own personal time, you know, you're going to make that money tenfold because, again, you're spending your time making deals happen versus trying to figure out if the deal is viable or not, right? So any of that back office function, and, you know, I can get granular, but I don't think you really need to in this sense because, you know, yeah, okay, hey, 123 Anywhere Street, I need to know what the comparable sales, what the comparable listings are in the area. Let me know what the true value of that is. These guys are filling in forms, right? Mm-hmm. It's not rocket science. Everybody has their own little bit of secret sauce, as it were, to how they determine whether or not the deal is viable for them. But the work going up to that point is all the same. Give me value. Let me know property condition. Reach out to individuals that are going to get me that information so that I don't have to spend the time doing that. I don't need to spend the time on the phone. I don't need to spend the time, you know, again, keystroking. Let me go ahead and make decisions as to whether or not that deal is going to be profitable for me or not. And that's where you're going to gain your biggest advantage related to having a VA and having them help you. Not to mention, you know, there's other aspects of your business. If you want to start something else, you know, you want to go down another business line, mm-hmm. that VA is going to free up your time to be able to do that. And again, the cost of a VA is minuscule in comparison to what you're going to gain in earnings as a result of their assistance.
So if there's a new task a VA has to learn, is there a good process or way, or how do you advise clients say, well, I need them to do something a little bit different than they've done before? What is the best strategy of handling that?
So here, you know, I can tell you about how we kind of structure it. And there is going to be some time suck, if you will, in the beginning, right?
Sure.
In the beginning, we're going to create a training manual. And that training manual, you're going to have to give us your intellectual knowledge to be able to let them know steps 1 through 100 on what they need to process on a daily basis. But then our training team is going to take your information, create the manual for you, because I'm quite certain you probably don't have that. It just all resides in your head today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're going to create that training manual. And as you continue to grow and those opportunities continue to gain, you need to get another VA or you want to hire somebody, you know, stateside again to be able to help process and help you workflow. That process manual that is your intellectual property now is going to help you get to that next level, because now you can sit somebody down and say, okay, here's steps 1 to 100. This is the way we do it. And this is how we're going to, this is what I want you to do on a daily basis. The, you know, the day or two of time that it's going to take you to create that manual. And again, you're not the one creating it. My staff is creating it for you, right? Then they're going to have you, they're going to send it back to you and say, hey, is this your process as you understand it today, steps 1 through 100? And you're going to say, absolutely, this is what we do. And then, you know, in a month you say, hey, you know, we had an industry change or we had a market change and steps 50 through 75 are going to change, but here's the addendum to that. Then our team goes through and they train. So if you want to add a staff member, then they'll be able to train to it. Now you're not having to spend your time training. Our people train. So it's a train the trainer concept, right? Mm-hmm. So once you impart your intellectual knowledge to us, and again, there's a little bit of a, you know, a pain point in the first day or two of doing it. But once you've done it, then they know what you expect and what you need on a day-to-day basis. And now they're off to the races, right? You know, in the Philippines, you know, being a VA is a coveted job. You know, these kids go to school to be VAs, and they go to school in the interest of, you know, I think 85% of our staff is 2 to 4 year college educated. The remaining 15% has years of experience in the VA business, so that they are, again, you know, this is something that it's a position that they want to have. It's a position that they want to grow with. And in a company like ours, there's vertical movement, right? There's the opportunity to go to a team lead and a supervisor and a manager and a director because of our size, right? So now we've created an upward path of mobility for those individuals. So they want to stay with us. The other part is if our people, if they're out, they call in sick or they, you know, decide that they found another opportunity. Well, we have a bench staff that we're cross-training, right? And that bench staff is now going to take on your work, because when you contract with a VA, you're not only contracting for that one VA or that FTE, that full-time equivalency, but you're also trying to, whatever workflow that they can process in a day, if we agree that they can do 10 widgets a day, whatever those processes are, then every day those 10 widgets will be done. If this happens in your operation today, that work doesn't get done. Or if you have another individual, you're paying them overtime to get that done.
Sure.
Right? So again, now you've alleviated those costs, because those costs won't be borne by you. They're borne by us. Right? And the work is being done and allowing you and your team to do other things and become more profitable.
So we're Rudy here, Casanova, talking about VAs. Funfield jumping in here. Talking about VAs to help your business along. I've worked with some VAs, worked with some coders, right? Some a little higher level people. And what I want to make sure people understand is that when I first got into it, I felt bad hiring these people for such, you know, low paid things. They do a lot. And when I finally got one ask, I worked with them for about six, eight months. And he says, what do you guys, like, should I be feeling bad? And he says, can I be honest with you? I said, sure. He goes, some of the people here are making $5 a day. So when I'm like, whoa, like the low rate people are making almost nothing. So making $5 an hour to a lower wage person is astronomical. So is, from what your experience is that the reason that this job is so coveted, because of the fact that it is a higher paying job than they would traditionally get in their country?
It's a higher paying job. It's an office job. It is a job. And, you know, there are two different types of VAs, right? There's one, there's work from home VAs, and then there's work from an office VA. And depending on the complexity of the nature of your business and what you do, there's advantages to either, right? Mm-hmm. One of the advantages of being in an office is you have, at least in our operations, right? You have redundancy of power. So you have backup generators, you have, in our office, we're ISO 27001:2013 data certified. So it's international data standard And so our people are walking in and they're putting all of their personal belongings into a locker room. They're biometrically scanning into the office. Mm-hmm. All of their data ports are locked down. All of their ports of entry from an internet perspective are locked down, except for whatever the portal of entry is for your processing. So whether it's a Citrix connection, VPN connection, web-based portal access connection, our folks are relegated to doing your work. So they're not surfing Facebook like the US-based employees today. They're not on Twitter. They're not, you know, they're not on those things except during their breaks, right? So the level and quality of work is raised, right? And so there's a lot of advantage to doing that. When they're work from home, you know, we employ the use of a software that monitors keystrokes, that monitors movement, that monitors all of these things to ensure that the workflow that they're contracted for is being done on a daily basis. Not to mention the fact that all of our clients get a daily work report that says, hey, today you sent 10 widgets and Rudy did all 10 widgets. Today you sent 12 widgets and Rudy did all 12. And now you have a daily tracking mechanism for how much work is being sent, how much work is being done. And it helps you understand then whether or not you need to send more work or potentially hire another individual because you're sending too much work, right? So there's a lot of ways to enhance what you do there. And again, you know, back to what you said originally, you know, I encourage people look at, you know, Global Strategic's Facebook pages, right? We have our team that is, they have dance teams and they have dance offs and they have parties and events. And we have an employee activity committee where we're doing, you know, annual parties and events and doing things to help our staff maintain continuity in what they do, but also make sure it's a fun environment and it's an environment that they want to stay at. During the pandemic, the onset of the pandemic, we actually housed 60 people in our office for 90 days. We have showers, we have events. They were able to stay working, right? We were able to deliver to our clients the workflow that they needed to be done because everything was shut down here, right?
Yeah.
We took MiFis, we took computers and delivered them before the entire country shut down so that work could continue. And these people were great and they were ecstatic because they were being paid when no one else was.
Yeah.
They were getting the work done when no one else was. It's like I said before, it's a coveted job. It gives them the opportunity for advancement in their society. And that's huge.
For the common person like we are, what is the biggest struggle for them to make this shift from doing it themselves, working in the business and on the business at the same time, to hiring a VA? What is typically the biggest struggle and how do you guys help with
it? It's the I do it better factor, right? I do it better. I understand it better. I can work through this better than anybody else can. That's great. And you know what? Maybe that is the case. However, there's only so many hours in a day. You can only do so much. If you employ the use of a VA and at the onset, you train them properly, right? Now your bandwidth is increased and your ability to earn and or spend quality time with your family is increased, right? And those are the things you have to consider. Yes, like I said, I'm not gonna sugarcoat it. In the beginning, you're going to be like, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to train. I don't have time. Give me a couple of days of training and I will give you all that time back tenfold, wow. Right? I'll make this a better operation for you. I'll make you more profitable. I'll make you have more time with your family. All things that are very important to me in my life, for sure.
So then is it always... like when you're hiring somebody, is it paid by the hour or can you also opt to do it by project?
So you can opt to do it by project. I try and shy away from that a little bit more. Now we have plenty of people who do, so don't get me wrong. But the reason why is I like creating subject matter experts. And I think when you hire people internally in your office, you want to have people who are knowledgeable in what you do and understand your process and buy into your process. By hiring a full-time individual, that gives them the opportunity to begin to learn and grow with your business. And as they learn and grow with your business, they become better at what they do for you, which increases your opportunity to be better. And that's my perspective. And again, but if you want to, you know, if there's a short-term project, you know, you've got a big NPL tape that came in and you need analyzation of that NPL tape, sure, my guys can jump on it and they can go ahead and do that for you, given the right set of parameters, right? Sure. Given the right training, they can analyze that for you and get that over to you. And then it's done, you know, and we move on to the next deal. But again, if you want to have continued success, I would very highly recommend creating your own subject matter expert, creating somebody who's on your team, that is your person, who understands you and your workflow.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking like, you know, I'm analyzing tapes on a regular basis, but not every day. You know what I mean? So analyzing a tape, you know, once, maybe twice a month kind of thing, or possibly more often, but certainly not every day. So it would kind of be part-time work in that case. And that, would that work as well?
That would work as well. But what I would encourage you to do there is have them do that part-time. And then the other part of the time, there are other facets of what you do that they can learn and they can assist you with. And again, give you additional bandwidth to go down different, to seek out more tapes, to seek out more, you know, to do other business lines, you know. Not all of us are in one business line, right? We have multiple verticals in the interest of, you know, trying to capitalize on some form of income stream from each of those verticals. Mm-hmm. Let them help you with those, right? They're not one trick ponies. They are. Again, they're college educated kids who are hungry and want to go through and it's a job that they want to succeed at. And as such, they're going to do everything that they can to make sure that on a daily basis, that's occurring on your behalf.
I think for me, you know, my nervousness too is like, I don't know what I need them for. And I'm sure once you need them, like, oh man. So there's things like me and Nathan love all the time about like our website, something that like note investors, we're not website people, but people are saying, hey, something broke. And you're like, I had no clue, but it's not a day-to-day, maybe not even a month-to-month situation. Like I had a situation the other day where I'm just reaching out for anyone who can help me. You know, those are things that get thrown at us that are like kind of fires over here that it's not in our manual books. We don't ever touch it, but we need to fix. But younger college kids probably have an understanding of that stuff. How do we go about find that VA that can kind of be good at certain things, but also have maybe a strength here or strength there that may help us as well?
I think that they're so, you know, again, when they're in the Philippines, they go to college for various things, right? I mean, you know, they can go down, you know, the hotel franchise industry. They can go down the accounting industry, the bookkeeping industry. They can go down, you know, specifically doing recruiting, like there's all of that. It's no different than hiring a person here in the United States, right? You're that individual may be really good at task A, but task B, they're going to have wherewithal and they're going to have ability to be able to get outside of the box and be able to help you in other endeavors. And as you develop a working rapport with them, and begin to let them know what you need and what you're looking for delivery, you know, they're going to be coming back to you and they're going to say, you know, hey, David, I've got, you know, I finished my work for today. What's next? And you say, well, you know what? I've had a problem with the website, or can you take a look at it and give me some in ideas as to how to enhance that? Again, you know, they're smart individuals. I think people think, you know, third world country, right? And they think that those individuals aren't as savvy necessarily as the Americans are, right? You can't think in that sense, you know. And the way that I liken it is, I love going to hotels in other countries, and the front desk clerk speaks 10 languages, right?
Yeah.
We have trouble here in the U.S. of kids speaking more than one, and bad English at that, right? And you know, you've got the desk clerk that speaks 10 languages because they're striving to excel, right? These guys want that. My point is they want growth. They want to learn, and they're going to try and go out of their way to make sure that you're happy with their workflow and what they do. So and, you know, we go ahead.
I was just going to say, so let's say we sign up with you, whatever that looks like. And then hire a VA, is that VA just specifically for me, or is that person working with other companies as well?
In our model, they are specifically for you. If you have a full-time individual, that individual is yours. Again, I talked about the subject matter expert earlier. Mm-hmm. We want them to be your subject matter expert. We want them to know Nathan Turner and everything that he does and mm-hmm. become your go-to person, right? There are other VAs. There are other firms that do that operate on a pooled basis. We just personally feel that having that pooled basis doesn't allow for experts to be created in the same manner. So that's why we do it on a FTE perspective.
Interesting.
I'm seeing a message to Nathan. I thought I'd be here typing. I'm thinking about questions in my head that we can ask Rudy, because I think so. Rudy Casanova is over here joining us, talk about VAs for those who are tuning in. And I find this fascinating. You don't know you need a VA until you try it out, and you're like, oh. And our problem is we hire badly. And I think what you said before with the manual, which is hard to build, time consuming, but tells the person what to do, is a big, big part of this. Giving a playbook to somebody else, saying, hey, take over these tasks, and this is how I would do it.
Yes.
I had a friend of mine who said 5 years ago that he couldn't automate stuff. Maybe listening, so I apologize. And he eventually says, today he's automating over 85% of the stuff now, because the mind graph, the mind map goes through and says, if this happened, then this happened, do this, right? And there's going to be scenarios where they don't know. So when they get in a situation, maybe they respond to email and they're not sure what to say, how are they trained not to fake it?
So that's the one advantage that we have, especially in the Filipino mentality, as it were. They don't fake it, right? They you know, I think here in the U.S., we tend to have that, I can't say I don't know, so I'm going to just fake through it, right? They're going to come back and say, I don't know the answer to that. However, I will follow up with you and get you the answer you need. And then they'll contact their person. They'll contact David and they'll say, David, I had a call today. You know, in their daily work report, you're going to see 10 items came through, 9 were processed. The one that wasn't processed is going to say there was an issue and we need to address that. And then tomorrow they'll follow up with that individual and then they'll get them the answer that was needed in order to take care of the issue or concern or point that person had. So again, you know, they're very structured and measured in what they do. Hence the manuals are a great processing tool and it helps them understand. And then, you know, again, a lot of if-then statements, right? If you have a more complicated process, then just put that if-then statement in the manual. And again, as they become your subject matter expert, as they begin to understand your business because they work with you and your account alone, those answers are going to come to them because they've handled it in the past. They handled it, you know, maybe those aren't everyday issues or every month issues, but they're going to remember that 2 months ago, hey, I had this problem. This is how I handled it, and this is how I'm going to handle this one, right? Mm-hmm. And so now it alleviates that from coming back to you and your desk, excuse me, for that answer. So, you know, again, it comes down to these, you know, these guys are looking. And again, I encourage you to look at our Facebook feeds and see the people that work for us. And you're going to get to understand, you know, there's a definite difference in the 20 odd year old in the States versus the 20 odd year old in the Philippines, right? The Philippines, again, this is a way for them to pull themselves up and make themselves a successful person. Here, I think our mentality for those more line level jobs has come to, you know, I don't have to work as hard as I need to keep this job because they just need my body here, right? There they want that, right? And that's the other thing is as you know, it's tough to hire today, guys. It is what it is. It's tough to hire in the US, right?
Yeah.
Those line level jobs, you know, everyone wants to be the CEO, right? Yeah. Well, great, you can be the CEO of your own company, but not of my company. Yeah. I need you to learn the ropes. And these guys are willing to learn the ropes and figure out who, you know, we have plenty of our clients that pay annual bonuses and monthly bonuses and to these guys for the performance that they've done because they realize the value add that they've given and how much additional revenue they've brought to their companies.
It seems like probably the first step in all this is to take a step back and look at your own business and say, okay, so this is what I do. here are the processes of everything that I do. This thing and this thing and this thing I can give away.
And that's a great way to look at it, Nathan, because, you know, the simple matter is, you know, you can talk to somebody like me, right? Yeah. And without the sake of plugging only global, but you can talk to a VA provider, yeah, right? And say, hey guys, here's what I do. How have you helped others like me, right? Ooh, right. I'm going to go through and I'm going to send you a one sheet of everything that we've done in your space.
Okay.
You know, you and I are going to talk for a few minutes. You're going to say, okay, on a daily basis, I do X, Y, and Z, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say, great. For other companies like you, we do Y and Z all day long. Can't wow. do X necessarily, but we do Y and Z all day long. And we're going to send you that those functions. And then you're going to say, okay, I can do this, this, and this. Oh, and wait, I didn't think about this function and this function.
Yeah.
And then we're going to send you a redacted manual of those functions. And you're going to, and we're going to help you create the wheel, as it were. And we're going to say, here's a redacted manual of how, you know, one of our other clients handles it. Does this fit your model? How would you update this to fit your model? And then now we're part of the way home on that creation of that manual, that workflow, and the training associated with getting that individual on your team.
That's awesome.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I want to make sure people too know this. When I first got into the VA world, I'm saying these guys in the Philippines, they can't speak English, right? And what you find out is they do fairly well with actually sometimes exactly what I understand. They can speak it. And when I get on a phone call with them, some are a little bit the accent, right? But for the most part, no problems.
So I jokingly say one of my sales guys is from North Carolina. And we always say that his accent is 10 times heavier than the accent of our Philippines.
Yes.
Our Filipinos are, you know, the language is not a barrier there. In fact, there was a company out of India that was a recruiting firm who actually had us do all of their voice work for them. Wow. So it was an Indian firm that contracted with a Filipino firm to do all the voice work. And we you know, had a longstanding relationship with them for almost 10 years.
Wow.
They built a bot. A bot is a build, operate, transfer. And finally, after 10 years, they found office space and created their own entity, which we then transferred over those individuals because we knew that was always on the horizon. But my point is the English speaking there, you know, these kids are taught English from elementary school. Mm-hmm. From the time they're in kindergarten up, they're taught English. And in offices like ours, our office is English speaking, reading, writing only. Tagalog is the native language. They don't speak that while they're in the office. You know, there's also a differential. I mean, if you wanted somebody who was a voice premium, you know, it doesn't cost that much more. But in most instances, I don't ever see the need for voice premium unless they're on the phone 24/7. But if they're just processing, you're going to be able to speak. It's not much different than you and I talking now, to be honest with you. You know, a heavy New York or heavy Jersey accent, you've just matched the Filipino accent.
You know, it's funny too, because I also got used to understanding that they work on our schedule too, right? They're not on their hours sometimes, they'll work on your hours. So they'll work late into the night because it's daytime for us.
So that's a great point. Thank you for saying that. Yeah, so we have shifts that are 24/7. We literally have staff on call every hour of the day. There's somebody in our office working. So there's various split shifts. There's you know, true nighttime differential from the East Coast. Right now there is a 13-hour time difference, East Coast.
Yep.
Okay. So they're in the future. So it is 12:44 p.m. during the day on the 18th there, because they cross the international dateline.
Yeah.
So daytime working, I'm sorry, a.m. 1 a.m. It's 1 a.m. there. Sorry, it's 1 a.m. there right now. It's 1:45 a.m. there, or 12:45 a.m. there. Yeah. I'm talking central time. It's 12:45 a.m. there. So their nighttime is our daytime, and we can work. And it all depends on your business model. We have several people who want the analysis done during the day there. So when they get in the morning here, they have their workflow ready to process.
Absolutely.
There are others who want somebody to be able to, they want to be able to call their VA and talk to their VA. Everything's voice over IP. Mm-hmm. So there's no telco charges. You can go through and get your people set up. You know, if you don't have a Ring Central or something of that nature, then we can instruct you on how to get that set up. And now you've got a direct line into your VA on a daily basis or nightly basis there. So all of that is available.
It's so easy to say yes, right? And I know we're getting top of the hour here. And there's a form inside the LinkedIn and Facebook link. This will be recorded and put on YouTube, just FYI too. And if you want to get, you know, Rudy's information, fill the form out, you'll get an automatic email back from us with all the information there. So we're getting to the really important question here, right? The one with the elephant in the room for those that tune in. Rudy, from a range, right? Because it's hard to say exactly. What is the hourly cost for these guys? I'm talking, we're looking at like, you know, probably $60, $100 an hour, right? These are trained professionals.
Yeah, I'd love to charge $60 to $100. I don't, however. So our rate, I'll tell you straight up, our global's rate per FTE, per full-time equivalency per month is $1,950. So $1,950 gets you a full-time employee dedicated to your team and your processes. And that's it. There are no upcharges. You know, there are various VAs out there, VA firms, I should say, that charge desk setup fees and computer charges and telco charges and all this. We don't. It's $1,950 a month, $1,950, and that gets you a full-time employee dedicated to you and your process.
Now, is that 40 hours, 30 hours?
Or? That is 40 hours, yes. So it's 40 hours a week working through, again, on your processes during the hours that you stipulate. And the only difference on that is if you felt that you wanted a premium voice, it might be $100 more a month. If you wanted an accountant, it might be $200 more a month. If you wanted a CPA, you know, it might be $300 more a month. But the CPA test, there is a CPA test here. So that is interchangeable. And, you know, we even hire paralegals there. I mean, there's all facets of individuals that are available there for our employment. The only thing I would say is we don't, at least in our operation, we're not big programmers. We don't do a lot of the data programming for computer programs, but that is readily available. But I would then point you into other parts of the world, Croatia, Serbia, things of that nature tend to have a little bit better code writing than the Philippines does.
If someone came to you and said, listen, I don't need full-time. Right. I'm looking for, and sometimes for us, that transition is hard. So like, boy, I don't know if I want to spend $2,000 for someone full time. And I want to hold on a little bit because I know what you're going to say here is once you get a taste of what they can do, it's a no brainer. But if someone wanted to start with like 20 hours, does the fee change at all? Or is it
going no, up? It'd be half of the fee, right? I mean, yeah, 20 hours, it'd be whatever that 1950 is. It's just over $11 an hour is what it comes out to.
Gotcha.
It's like $11.03 an hour, I think is the number. So 20 times 11 and there's your fee. And we are willing to do that. And we generally speaking, it's because we know that once you've had a little taste, you're going to want to go full time. You're going to want to go ahead and go full bore. So, and we do that with a number of entities with PMI, which is a big property management company. We do, we have a special deal with them where we do offer, you know, quarter and half FTEs because multiple franchises are using those bodies. But yes, so the answer is yes, we're willing to do it. And then I think once you see the value add, then you're going to go from one to two, two to three, et cetera.
Yeah, that's amazing. Hmm. So
interesting.
I guess our biggest issue is finding that VA, right? Knowing which one to go with. Is it that you guys pick which one fits our system and what we're looking for, or is it the next man up we get assigned to?
No, we will typically pick, we go through and depending on your skill set and or what your function set is, I should say, we will try and hire accordingly with their skill set. So we're not going to try and put a hotel franchise individual into an accounting box, right? They don't mix. So we go through and we have a pretty stringent interview process where we may interview five or six individuals in the interest of finding the right person for your job. And, you know, here's the other piece is we always maintain a bench staff, right? We always maintain people in the wings that we have cross training. So we give them, we have a pretty deep training program called Global University. So we're training them on MB 101, Mortgage Banking 101, Single Property Management 101. We're teaching them some of the buzzwords because, you know, in property management, they may not know what a sump pump is, right? Because they don't have sump pumps in the Philippines. Right. So we're teaching them this and helping put them shovel ready for the next available position that comes up. So we do hire staff and keep them on board. And then if you know, we just had a big retraction in the origination industry, right? We had 135 individuals with one of the top origination companies in the country here in the US. And we lost about 70 of those seats because of the retraction in the industry, right? People just weren't writing as many mortgages. Well, we didn't let those people go. We brought them onto the bench and then we began to put them onto other accounts and put them in other endeavors as we were bringing on new clients because we don't want to lose our subject matter experts. We have time and dollars in the training of those individuals and we don't want to lose those assets. And so, again, we're constantly training, constantly making them better, constantly having them understand various lines of business to be shovel ready for you and your business.
So awesome. You know,
very interesting, Rudy.
It's something that I've been saying for a while I needed, and we've tried hiring it, you know, with Indeed and whatnot, and find UX person, and you beat your head against the wall because it's that manual that we don't know how to put together, that brain steps we struggle with. And we don't know who to hire for what. We think we need them for this, but we realize we need for this and this. And we just start figuring out, saying, I'm tired of trying to hire somebody. And that becomes a burden. So you're like, oh, let's pick this person because whatever reason. And we just do a terrible job. So having someone that we can share our thoughts and what we think we'll use them for with someone like yourself and kind of drive us down that road to be able to get our solution to free up our time, energy, and money so that we can do other things such as marketing or whatever, or they can do the marketing part and we can focus on just raising capital, buying deals, So that's a fascinating thing. So so again, we're talking to Rudy here from Rudy Casanova. And again, everything you'll see in the link, you can get his information. Rudy, before we let you go, I know you've been attending a lot of the Node conferences. Are you going to be attending anything upcoming soon?
Matter of fact, I will be at the IMN multifamily conference Sunday, Monday, Tuesday in Dallas. I'm actually located in Dallas. I'll be speaking on specifically, what am I speaking on? I am speaking on data-guided property management, employing insights to increase employee efficiency. So I'll be moderating that panel. And I will be also attending the IMN Single Family Rental Conference in Miami, which is the latter part of May. I will be attending the Pitbull Conference next weekend in Miami as well, or in Key Biscayne to be exact. So yeah, I mean, there are a lot of conferences that I get into and I attend. I'll be attending the MBA's Mortgage Banker Association's chairman event in early June. And then I have a trip. Actually, I'll be heading out to the Philippines mid-April for a week and a half to see our staff in our locations and visit them there. So, I'm always around. I'm always speaking at conferences. I'm always at anything industry related, and you know. If anybody would care to meet face to face, I would love the opportunity. I know I see Nathan out and about all the time. Mm-hmm. And so I'd love to do that again.
We did get a nice compliment of Rakesh on LinkedIn, post the fact that he really appreciated bringing content on and reusable information. We appreciate that. And guys, when we put on these webinars, this isn't stuff that we know about. This is stuff we want to learn about as well. So that's why we may look like we're, you know, interviewing for the first time. It's because we are, right? This isn't prep stuff. So having really honest, real something that we're in needing, right?
Yeah. And don't kid yourself. Nathan and David are signing up seats this week. I'm on them.
Yeah.
So they now realize the value and they're gonna jump right on board.
It'd be awesome.
Very interesting stuff.
Yeah. And Nathan and I actually met outside of this piece of the business. He met through my consulting business and we did some REO work together.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So.
Yeah.
I've got a long and varied past in mortgage banking. And I've been executive with several large companies, in title, mortgage bankruptcy work, mortgage foreclosure work. Mm-hmm. So I've been around the industry a long time and, my brain trust is not quite what it used to be, but it's still worth picking it at times. So,
yeah. Yeah. Very cool. And I know we're talking about having some of your people come up to DME as well. So that's.
And I do intend to attend your conference as well. If I'm not there, then one of my people will be. So. Yeah,
that'd be great. Yeah. Awesome. Very interesting stuff, Rudy. This is, I know we like you say, we talked about REO stuff back in the day. And then I think it was just last year I saw you at an IMN conference and we're talking about doing VAs. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Stuff. We'll definitely tune in. Keep a little bit of everyone out there to kind of check out what we're doing with this stuff. I think this is where we're going to be moving towards to help with some of the other stuff. And we're going to push some of you guys towards this because we know a couple of you guys by name really need this service. We just have to help you let go of doing it myself mentality, the E-Myth book. So
do you see, Rudy? What changes do you see? You mentioned like the origination side kind of dropped off somewhat. What changes are you seeing in the US market based on how you're hiring in the Philippines?
Well, you know, I mean, right now we're starting to see an increase again in the mortgage default market.
Yeah.
They have not seen the increase in foreclosures or loss mitigation files that they were expecting thus far. But because of the pandemic, so many of these mortgage banking entities, the mortgage law firms, the mortgage vendors associated with default related work, the grass cut guys, the property preservation guys, all of them they cut their staff, right? They cut their teams and their office space and all of that in the interest of trying to stay viable during the pandemic. And as such, now those individuals are coming to us and saying, hey, I'm starting to see an uptick in volume. I don't have the office space I had. I don't have the staff I had. Can you help me? So we're starting to offset some of those seats that went away from origination and title. And we're starting to put them into the mortgage default space as a result. Property management, you know, as you guys know, has been exploding now for several years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is a trend which is continuing. And so we're starting to see a lot more property managers. I mean, you know, 4 years ago, we were at, 20% of our staff was doing property management and single family rental related work. Now, you know, like I said, up to 50% of our staff is doing that work because we've seen that much of an increase in the property management space. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, my team is touching over 150,000 doors nationwide for various property managers. Right. And that market is continuing to grow. Rents are still going up. And as you know, having been a long-term mortgage default guy, as you know, interest rates tick up, you know, the reality of it is affordability goes down. So, you know, while we still have a lot of equity in our properties right now, because of the extreme growth that we've seen in the last 4 or 5 years, people are going to have to start deciding, you know, hey, my property is, you know, was worth $500,000 a month ago. Now it's worth $450,000. Am I willing to sell it for $450,000? But because that individual who wants to buy it can only afford $450,000 now, they can't afford $500,000. So values begin to decline. And as values begin to decline, we're going to get to a place in some certain areas, not all, where those values start to nominalize. And the individuals who bought high now are going to start seeing they're going to be worth less, right? So, and again, that's not going to apply to all markets, but it's going to apply to some of the markets that are out there. And as that occurs, then, you know, the rent aspect of things is going to be huge because people can't, they got foreclosed on, they can't take a mortgage out again. They're going to have to go and rent. And I do see a continued uptick in the rental market going forward. And I am sorry, I was just at the Build to Rent 2 weeks ago in Nashville. And the Build to Rent, you know, there's a lot of companies that are putting their money forth in that Build to Rent market. And, you know, trying to get those on the books and trying to get people there because people do want to have their single family home versus having the apartment lifestyle. Right. So I do see that still coming pretty on pretty strong for us.
Gotcha. So that also would be the same kind of thing for anybody doing seller finance. They can either rent it or they can seller finance it.
Yeah, that's correct.
Seller finance, but. Still, the story is the same. It's they'll rise together.
100%. I agree with you.
Well, Rudy, I appreciate you coming on this Friday, I guess afternoon now for you, and spending some time with us and sharing about this VA work. Again, if you have any questions, there's a link inside the chat, but also we'll put it into the YouTube. You can always reach out to us at JKP Holdings. But I appreciate Rudy spending at least an hour with us to share a lot of stuff that people need to learn and be able to trust in and believe in to transform the business, to grow it to the next level. This is especially for those who are working in W-2 jobs, who are working full-time, can hire a VA to do work while you're making money other ways as you grow your business. So Rudy, again, 100%. I appreciate your time and on.
I appreciate you guys having me on and inviting me. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.